Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
On our Love One Another Deeply series, this is a session called Called to Affection. I really like this subject. I like this session because it really kind of takes a lot of what we've been looking at and it draws attention to one very narrow aspect of love, but it's a very important one, and it's one that we've got to figure out how to express rightly. The New Testament calls the church to be affectionate. Now, it's actually pretty normal in our culture for love to be expressed in a lot of different ways. Probably all of them, so long as they're, you know, wholesome or good. But to be expressed without affection. You can actually express love in a thousand ways that aren't affectionate. This subject of affection is what we're going to stare at this morning because it's not the same as love. It is one aspect, it is one way that love can be expressed. I mean, when I discipline my kids, that's love. But I don't know that I or they would call it affection. You know, I mean, that's not exact, but it's love. It is for sure love. But it doesn't come across as affectionate. There's a different place for that. And so I just want us to read here 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. And we're going to look at some of the verses that talk about how the Lord has designed the church to be a family, we've looked at that, to be the body, we've looked at that, to operate with affection for one another. So really, this is like really good stuff. This is really rich. It's one of the privileges. It's a responsibility and a privilege of a New Testament believer. Responsibility to give it, privilege to receive it. Look at this. This is Peter, and he's got a long list of things that he's like, look, this is how you be a Christian. He says, you want to add to your faith. He says, I recognize if you came to Christ, you've got faith. Good. That's a starting point. Now add to it. Start adding things to your faith that will wind up benefiting you and the kingdom of God greatly. He says this, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness and to goodness, I skipped a few, godliness and to godliness, mutual affection, and a mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a really interesting idea because the Apostle Peter is telling us to grow in affection for one another. He lists it with a bunch of other really godly character components. These are redeeming qualities of the faith, and we're supposed to be thinking of these qualities, affection being one of them, we're supposed to be thinking of these qualities as kingdom priorities, things that are part of our assignment. He says, if you operate in these, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. I'm going to say it this way. If you possess these qualities, you will make increasing impact. If you have these qualities, and on the list of qualities is godliness. Like, have you ever thought of the importance of pursuing affection in the same line of thinking that you would go, I want to try to be godly? Because Peter puts it on a list. He says, add these things to your faith, godliness, righteousness, holiness, and mutual affection. It's part of the kingdom priority. This mutual affection, it's really intense. It's one of the values we're supposed to be pursuing. I mean, I know we're like working on a lot of other areas of our walk in our life. I just wonder how many of us are thinking actively about this point. I'm supposed to be pursuing being affectionate. What an interesting idea. And yet we are. And we start with the believers around us. Again, as we've been doing this whole series, the subject of loving our brother gets extended to the furthest reaches. But the greatest expression of it is those that are around you right now, those that you're doing life with, those that you're in a small group with, those that you see on the regular. We're supposed to be growing in mutual affection. It's something that we're supposed to be cultivating, that we're intentional about. Stop for a second. Just ask yourself the question. Like, have you ever thought, I'm not affectionate enough, I need to try and do that better? Like, I'm not that affectionate, or whatever degree of affection I'm supposed to be adding to it. Have you ever thought this question? This one struck me. Have you ever had the thought that not being affectionate would keep you from being effective and productive in your faith? That if I'm not affectionate, that actually holds me back from being effective. He says this, moreover, make every effort to add this to your faith. So it's got to be like intentional. It's going to take effort. You know, we're all different. Each of us has got some things that we're kind of a little bit more naturally good at or bad at. But wherever we're at, wherever you're at, we're in this whole series on love. This is like a deep dive moment on a very specific aspect of love. Wherever we're at, we're supposed to be making every effort to grow in being affectionate. It's actually pretty rich and pretty sweet when you're a part of places, communities, groups, churches, families that are affectionate. I mean, it's a sweet thing. Again, I defined it earlier as the benefit and the responsibility of the believer. But man, the benefit is real. I mean, when you're with an affectionate group, it's like, I just like being here. I like you people. Like, this is great. It's interesting because the opposite's also true. We'll look at that in a minute. But to make every effort, like being godly, like the pursuit of godliness. I mean, that's something that I know we think about, the godliness, righteousness, working out the things that we know are sinful, and we're like, oh, I don't want that in my life. Have we ever stopped for even a moment to go, I want to be more affectionate, like we would be thinking about, I want to be more godly? I don't know, that just struck me as I was studying this. It's just like, I just don't think we think that way. But here's an invitation to start thinking that way, to be a people that pursue godly affection. Now, of course, we live in a world that is all about 1,000 wrong ways to do affection, right? So it's got to be within the parameters of what is right and good. Don't forget, godliness is on the same list, okay? So it's not like we get to pick one or the other. So it's godly affection. But what a great pursuit. Godly affection. Affection that does the trick, and it's within bounds, oh, so that the Lord looks on it and smiles at it. To be smiled at by the Lord because of the way that we grow in affection. Just a couple thoughts as I'm kind of getting started on this. It's loving outwardly and openly. To love affectionately is outward and open. The affection isn't done in secret without being known by the person that it's aimed at. Affection is shown. It's in the moment. There are other ways to love. I'm not saying affection is the only way to love. I'm saying affection is one way to love, and it's one way we probably don't think much about. So specifically sticking with affection, it's open, it's loud, it's seen, it's in the moment, it's immediate, it's felt, it's transferred. Affection. And Peter's like, I don't want you to be ineffective in your knowledge of God. I don't want you to be unproductive in your faith. And actually, if you're not growing in how to show and express godly affection, you don't even know it, but it's stunting you. It's holding you back from some things. But just start to think about that. Think about those moments. Just go with me here. Think about the moments where you're in a conversation with someone and it's really difficult to get through to them. But if you had a history with them of godly affection, they would be more receptive to you right there in that moment. And you would be able to actually get the job done. It's like, oh my gosh, I would be unproductive in my faith if I'm not growing in affection. Huh? Who knew? Who knew that was on the list? Here's some things that I'm just kind of processing about this passage and the concept as a whole, is that God wants his love reflected. Like, God wants his love reflected, and one of the ways that he wants to reflect it is through affection. But here's the challenge. It's really difficult to see and feel in a moment the affection of God without a human conduit. You can feel God's love in a lot of ways, but affection is like warmth and embrace. I mean, and God wants his affection displayed. So how does he do it? He does it through us. I mean, there have been so many times where one of you has done something that I was just like, oh, it just touched me. It was really an affectionate little moment or word or whatever. And I didn't just thank God for you. I thanked God for God in you. That I was like, oh, Lord, you're so good. I'm sensing your goodness. I'm sensing your affection. We all need that. I mean, we live in a generation of brokenness. We need to feel the Father's affection. But affection is a really interesting thing because it does require presence. It requires that physical, like, you got to be able to convey it. You got to get it. And there's layers of affection that we're only going to be able to feel from the Lord through each other. He did it on purpose. It's part of the reason it's written into the code. I want you to be mutually affectionate to one another because there's things that I want to give my family through my family. There's ways I want to express love that require a human conduit. And so he says, I want you to grow in affection. I want you to learn how to do this. It's an interesting dynamic. As I was kind of processing that, I was like, I mean, there are some aspects of God's affection that I can feel from him in a word. You know, if he gives me a word in the right moment kind of a thing. But there is something about the physical face-to-faceness that we don't get with God up there. I mean, it's just something about that. But we do get with each other, and God wants that expressed amongst us. I think it's a beautiful way that we get to be that hand of the Lord to one another. I mean, that's on purpose. That's how he wrote it. He made it that way. Well, let's just look at the apostolic model here. We're going to look at a few verses that really drive home this point about how big of a deal this subject of affection is. Put up that first verse in Philippians 1:7-8. Thank you. This is Paul, and he's talking about this subject. He's writing to the church of the Philippians, church that he'd spent a good amount of time with. It says, it's right for me to feel this way about you. Hear these heartfelt words. It says, right for me to feel this way about you. Since I have you in my heart, and God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. I long for you with affection. Whose affection? God's. See, there it is. God has affection. It's being expressed through Paul for them. Just these deep words that Paul's writing to Philippians. He tells them that their relationship to him matters to him. It matters. And that he has deep affection for them. He tells them that he carries them around in his heart and that this is a reflection of the way that Jesus feels about them. Interesting. I mean, this is just Paul, just writing, talking. He's the same person in letter as he is in person. He makes that point clear a couple of times. And here he's like, I carry great affection in my heart for you. And actually, this affection, it's God's affection for you. Man, what if we could start really genuinely feeling for people the way God feels for people instead of the way we feel for people? What if that's a point of our immaturity? What if the negative things that we feel about a person is actually a reflection of our immaturity? What if actually we were able to feel the way God does? I don't think God's sitting around all day thinking about how bad they are. Right? Like, that's our immaturity. And the solution might be dive into the affections that God has for that person, not the tolerance that God has. That is, the kingdom is not built on tolerance. God is love. The kingdom is built on affection. God really, genuinely, really, really, really likes that person. He has genuine affection. What if we could start to go, just like when we lack wisdom and we go, God, I lack wisdom, give me wisdom. Or we lack money, God, I lack money, give me money. Or whatever else we lack, what if we go, God, I lack affection. Give me your affections for this person, this group, this whatever. Man, how cool would that, how freeing would that be? How godly, how kingdom moving forward would that be? I mean, that'd get some stuff done. So much is actually hindered by our inability to grow in affection. Man, how about in this passage in 2 Corinthians 7, 13 through 15, this is Paul, and he's talking about Titus. He says, listen, I sent Titus to you guys to spend some time with you, and I told him you guys were awesome, and I told him ahead of time you were going to love him so well, and he was going to love you as a result. I told him, and you did not disappoint. When he was with you, you guys did him right. This is so good. And Paul's in that spirit, and he says, Titus was refreshed by all of you. I had boasted to him about you, and you have not embarrassed me. And his affection for you all, for you, is all the greater when he remembers that you were all obedient and that you received him with fear and trembling. There's so much going on in this passage. This is Paul with affection, talking about his affection for the Corinthians, talking about how he loves Titus, about how Titus was going to go and get to experience that love when he was with the Corinthians, and then how Titus came back and went, Paul, you were right. They received me so well. I was refreshed by their love. There was such affection. Wow. Wow. But you know what? Affection is refreshing. I mean, there have been so many times where just that right word, that right glance, that right hug, that just that right moment, it's like it brings like the breath of God back into you. I mean, we all love it when it happens to us, but let's do the math on that. What if we decided we were going to be that a lot to others, to refresh others with affection? Something powerful. I mean, there's something powerful about a real affectionate moment. When I think about the subject of affection, I'm mostly thinking of something that transpires in 20 seconds. Little things. Little interactions, little things. I'm sure it's beyond that, but those are the moments that touch. Oh, which is great, because if that's a real way to look at it, how costless is that? 20 seconds or five. Little affectionate efforts make someone feel safe and known and loved and built up and strengthened and seen. And man, what else? Look at this one. This one hurts a little bit. This is later in 2 Corinthians 6:12. Now Paul's talking about the way they're treating him. He's like, hey, remember how I bragged on you guys about how awesome you did? Well, I mean, actually, it's 7 comes after 6. But he's like, He's like, you guys have been so good with Titus. He says, but this affection thing is not two-way right now between us. Look at this. He goes, we are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. What a painful thing to feel, let alone write it. Like, I'm giving you my affection, but you're withholding yours from me. Not love. Remember, there's plenty of ways to show love. Affection specifically. And you might go, well, I'm loving you this way, this way, and this way. Might well be true. But without that specific area of affection, there's something missing. It's still a little cold. It might be genuine. It might be long-lasting. It might be 100 versions of love, but lacking affection. And Paul calls it out. He's like, listen, I am not withholding my affection the way that I am showing my affection and the way that I feel for you. But you are withholding it from me, and I want to call you out on that. Have you ever in your life thought calling out a believer for not being affectionate to you was even on the list of things that could be said out loud? Hey, you're not being affectionate with me. Man, that brings up all sorts of insecurities, and to say it, to have it said to you. Paul's saying it to a whole church. It's on the list because it's something we're supposed to be growing in. Remember? Like holiness. We're supposed to be growing in affection. And when it's lacking, it creates a void. When affection is lacking, it creates insecurity. You don't know. It's so funny. We're fickle like that. Like, you know, when you're affectionate with me, I know you like me. When you're not affectionate with me, I don't really know. Are we good? I don't know. It's kind of weird. I rebuke you for not being affectionate with me. You know, you're probably having a really hard time. I probably need to be real careful with what I say. I mean, but this is on the table. And Paul's like, there's great pain in my heart about this. He says, I'm doing this right. I am giving you not just my love. I am giving you affection. I think of you dearly. I have great warmth in my heart for you. And it doesn't seem that you have that back. Man. I mean, if we look at Paul and the other apostles, really the Bible at all, it's like we look at this as our model. We're looking at an apostolic model of New Testament Christianity, and includes affection being like a big deal. Enough to rebuke a church about. I mean, it's a big deal that we would be affectionate. Let's put up this verse in 1 Thessalonians. This is 3:10-12. Look at this. Now that we've described the New Testament process, the New Testament value is what I meant. The New Testament value of affection. Let's now read this prayer that Paul prays for Thessalonica. And let's see if we can't interpret it through that lens of affection. Like, oh, that's what's going on. That's what he means. Look at this. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again. Why? Because we really, really like you. And we want to be with you. We want to have those affectionate moments. It says, it aches our heart that we're not with you. We are earnestly praying that we get to see you again. And do what when we're there? Supply what's lacking in your faith. And now, may our God and Father himself and the Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. There it is again. We are asking God, make a way that we can see them, that we can be with them, that we can refresh them, that we can make up what's lacking in their faith. And remember, one of the things on the list that we're supposed to be adding to our faith is affection. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and everyone else, just as ours does for you. What's Paul praying? Oh, I pray that you'd be affectionate towards one another. that your love would increase and overflow. See, overflowing love, one of the main ways that's going to come out is affection. He says, I want for you to be affectionate. He says, I've already modeled this for you. He's like, I've already made it clear, other apostles as well, that the way of the New Testament isn't just love, but the aspect of love that we would be affectionate towards one another. And he says, I am praying that we would get to come and be with you, that this would be this beautiful love fest, that we could be together, there would be such affection and love. And I'm praying that God would help you in your pursuit to be affectionate towards one another, because I pray that it would increase and that it would overflow, it'd splash on each other. That you would grow in love and it would splash on those around you. I'm interpreting affection through that, but I think it's there. That interaction, that openly, outwardly, loud expression of love, affection. It's kind of interesting. Affection makes things feel a certain way. And the opposite's true too. Weigh this statement. Just think about this statement I'm gonna say. The presence or absence of affection is felt. You feel it? You feel affection? You feel it. Not affection? You feel it, right? And you feel it on multiple levels. It's not even just one. It's like a lot going on there. When you feel affection, it's like it touches a lot of things. When you feel not affection, I'm not saying you feel evil. You feel anger. Just not affection. Just the absence of it. Not the presence of whatever the opposite would be. Just the neutrality. You feel it. It does. You walk away and you just know things about that situation, that conversation. It's like you feel it. A community that lacks affection feels a certain way. A relationship that has affection feels a certain way. A relationship that had it at one point and doesn't anymore feels a certain way. Is this as painful for you as it is for me right now? This is murderous to read all this. It's horrible. I wrote it, and I planned to say it, and then I just said it. It's like I felt like I've relived a nightmare three times. I mean, this is real, though. The presence or absence of affection leaves a very distinct feeling. What do we want people to feel? What do we want to feel? Just the whole reap and sow. Like, if I love you more, will you love me less? That's what Paul said. It's like, I'm just hoping if I'm just affectionate, everybody, though. I mean, like, we want to make people feel this way. Not just we want, we're responsible to. A responsibility and an incredible privilege. The subject of affection. You know, this helped me. I was processing this subject, and the idea came to mind, and I was like, you know what? I think that's actually what that was about. I don't know that we're ready for it yet. I don't know where we're at. I don't know. I like it when JC does it, but greet each other with a holy kiss. Let's put up the verses. It's in there a lot. I mean, a lot. Greet another with a kiss of love. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another. It's like this is a real part of the way that the apostles embodied showing godly affection. They greet each other with a holy kiss. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do with that right now. I don't know. Can we start with a godly hug? Help us ease our way in. But it did put some perspective on why does this keep showing up in the New Testament? Like, why is this in there? It was such an intentional, momentary act of affection. And it's not even that greeting people with a holy kiss was something they did. It's something they were told to do repeatedly. I mean, look, isn't that five? Yeah, five times. greet one another. It's like, you know, that whole apostolic witness model of being affectionate as just a part of normal Christianity. I'm looking at this and I'm like, the apostles were serious about this, about the need, about what it does when we're affectionate with one another. What it unravels in our hearts. Listen, there have been plenty of times that I've either seen it, I witnessed it, either gave it or received it, that a moment of affection dismantles lies. I mean, we can all picture one of a million movie scenes where two people are mad at each other and they come together and there's just this look. And it's not anger, it's just, it's affection, it's love. And it's like whatever they were mad about just melts away and is no longer an issue because of one glance of their eyes at each other. Just this moment of affection. It's real. It's really, really powerful. What if we reached to be good at it? What if instead of affection being something that happens every now and then, or well, some people are good at that, I'm not really good at that, so I'm not going to focus on it. What if it was something we were reaching for? Oh, man, I think there's power on it. To show affection takes real energy. It's more than our actions. It's the weight of our love. It's more than our actions. It's the weight of our love conveyed in a moment. Lord, anoint me to have weight on my intentional, affectionate moments. That it would actually have the power that your word says it can have. That it wouldn't just be a weird moment or awkward. Maybe even if it starts off weird and awkward, that we'd learn to press through that to get to godly. What if because of our own immaturity, our own inexperience, genuine efforts to show affection, again, godly affection, within all the righteous boundaries. But what if it's so foreign to us, we snicker at it and dismiss it? What if it's so foreign to us, we don't know what to do with it, so we just kind of, okay, let go now, bye. Man, I want us to grow up in this. The weight of our love being expressed from the heart in ways that can be perceived immediately by another person. See, that's part of the beauty of it, is immediate impact. It's like the power of God coursing through you for just that 1 second. To make impact. Gosh, that's good. I love that idea. Well, let's look at some parameters of affection. I've just been staring at this for some weeks. It's not so straightforward. I mean, not as straightforward as some things related to love. Some things are like pretty easy. This all requires like a little bit of discernment. This requires a little bit of intentionality, a little bit of effort. I just threw out some ideas. I just had some thoughts that I think might help us. What does it mean? What does it look like? What are some of the parameters of affection, of godly affection? Being warm, not cold. In our interactions, they'd be marked by warmth and not coldness. Coldness comes from our own issues. Maybe we're upset with that person. Maybe we're upset with our day. Maybe we're just not thinking of that person. Coldness is probably default. Coldness is probably default. So to be affectionate, to be warm, is going to take intentionality. To be warm, not cold. To be elated, not neutral. The difference between neutral and negative, we get that. What about the difference between neutral and elated? They come to tell you the story, and you're just kind of barely listening. Neutral. What about elated and engaged? That affection would be in that thing. I mean, right there with them. And you know how you look and feel when you're elated. It doesn't have to look and feel like whatever. It can look like you. But you know what the difference is in your heart when you're elated when someone's talking, or versus neutral? You know. What about the idea of affection being generous and not withholding? I'm talking about emotionally. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about you'll go do them a solid, you'll do them a favor. That's another expression of love. Affection, generous with our emotions, not withholding. We've got so many reasons to withhold. One, it takes energy. Two, you put yourself in a vulnerable position. 3, 4, 5, 6, 10. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why. But I'm just thinking about this subject of affection. It's like, you can't show affection and be withholding. Like, those go against each other. To be generous in our emotions, not withholding. To be genuine, not just go through the motions. Genuineness requires thought. Our default is just to do what it is that we do when we're in that situation. You see a door, you open it. You meet a new person, you ask them 3 questions. You pass somebody on the street, you wave. It's easy to do a lot of the right things. All those are right. I mean, it's just normal stuff, you know? It's easy to do the normal. It takes thought to be genuine. It takes intentionality. You got to dial down. But that's affection is genuine. What version of affection would be ingenuine? Like what version of affection doesn't require that intentionality? Don't just go through the motions. It's really easy to just go through the motions. It's kind of what we do in life. But what about slowing down to be genuine? How about being, to be affectionate, to be present, focused, and intentional? And again, I think most of this stuff, and maybe the Lord will expand all of our understanding. I'm thinking mostly of like 10 and 20 second little things. For 10 seconds, for 20, could we be present, focused, and intentional? I mean, you all know what it is to get a hug versus to get an affectionate one. What's the difference? Probably intentionality. Probably. You know? I'm just like, man, Lord, help us to get good at this stuff. Being affectionate is loving outwardly. It's going to take it an outward express. Something's going to have to happen. It's unmistakable, intangible, and heartfelt. When affection is expressed, it's like, that just happened. That was great. It was great. Well, what was it? I don't know. It was intangible. But it's heartfelt. I felt it, man. It was good. Affection, unmistakable, intangible, and heartfelt. You know, one of the things I'm really glad about, Andy and I were having a conversation about this sometime last week or two or something. Our community's got a good start on this. Like, there are a lot of godly relationships around here that are good models of what it looks like to be brothers and sisters in Christ, that show love, show affection, that's not weird, that's not out of place, that doesn't go out of bounds. It's like actually a really good place to kind of see, because some people come from situations, it's like, man, I've never really seen that modeled well. This is a great place to see that modeled and like be able to participate, because there's a lot of that goes on really well here. I'm really grateful for that. But that's not on accident. That's been part of our DNA from the beginning. It's been something that we've reached for. Like, God made men and women to be brothers and sisters in Christ and to have really good relationships, and it be good and honest and kind and loving and affectionate, but not out of bounds. Not weird, not creepy. Like, this is good. I'm gonna give you just, as I've stared at this, I'm gonna give you, I think, a handful, 6 or 7. Of what I think are the most real applications. I've talked around it. I've said about what the heart of it is. I'm just going to give you some real applications. And maybe this list is only to encourage you to jumpstart your own list. Maybe these ideas that go, okay, yeah, but I could see this could be that. So I'm not saying this is an exhaustive list. It's not at all. These are just ones that just kind of came to mind. Like, okay, great. We're supposed to be affectionate. What do I do tomorrow? What do I do? Take a moment, slow down, and really listen. Just really listen. Somebody's talking. Really listen. Not there, not through the motions, not waiting for your turn to talk. Slow down and really listen. And let them see that let them see that. Show an obvious display. I know it sounds so dumb. An obvious display to someone, you want to sit next to them. Not sitting next to them, show them an obvious display, I want to. Not I must, not I've been talked into it. I want to, and make it clear I want to. It's like, man, that's like really easy. And as much sitting as we do, there's all sorts of opportunities for this one. There's a lot of sitting. I'm like, but what a great way to show it, to show that. Like an overt, obvious way to express affection. The visitor, the best friend. Just, hey, come here. That's all you did. It's like intangible in pointing at a seat. It was unintelligible, just pointing, looking. But doesn't that communicate affection? We'll do it your way. You've got a personality. Yours would do it different. But just that idea of, like, I want to sit next to you. I want to be in close proximity to you for a while. Yeah. And I want you to know it. I don't want it to just happen. I'm not going to just sit next to you and you not. What am I doing? What are my intentions? I just want to be near you. I don't care what else happens. Greet each other with an affectionate hug. Work on the affectionate part. Think about that. I mean, there's 100 ways that that can be godly and right and good and pure. And especially if we're not ready for kissing yet, we better figure out how to do this hug thing, okay? A godly hug, an affectionate hug. Smile warmly at someone. I've just found that to be so powerful. It conveys so much. It takes 5 seconds. The difference between looking, smiling and looking away, and giving like a warm, like, you're the best smile. There's power in it. It doesn't take much time or effort, but it conveys affection. Actually saying I love you. For some, that's tough because background or, I mean, a lot of different reasons that I don't want to neglect or dismiss. But, like, let's figure out how to do that. Like, you can start off with a bro or a sis, if that helps. Dude, I love you. But, like, saying it in a way that's heartfelt, there's power in that. Brag on one another openly. To say things, whether they're around or not, when they're around, it's even better because then they hear it. But if they don't hear it, then they'll probably hear about it later. And there's value in that too. To brag on one another. Reach to be affectionate. There's a lot we can do to reach, to be increasingly affectionate. And that's my heart. I'm like, Lord, help us in this season to reach in our own ways to be affectionate.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.